Well, let's open our Bibles this evening and let's read John 3:16 together. And I'm going to read from John 3:16 in the King James Version. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm just going to read this. I like to read it. It just ministers to me when I do. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So that means every time I hear the word, I can say the entrance. The entering in of his word gives light. I can also say, as I hear, revelation will come, insight will come as I hear the Word of God. And that's what the Holman Christian Standard says, the revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. Now, just wanted to go back and just make some statements to us that we already know, and you can be turning to Mark 11:22 and 23. We're going to read that, and I'll just share these points. Mountains in our lives are inevitable. Mountains are inevitable. It's not if I will face a mountain, it's when I will. You live long enough in this earth, sometime or another, you're going to face a mountain, you're going to face an obstacle in your life. And as we heard, you know, it could be financial, it could be physical, it could be family, it could be emotional, whatever that may be. You know, one of the things that Brother Hagin shared through the years, that Jesus bore our sicknesses, and he said that God had instructed him early in his ministry to lay hands on the cloths and to impart his healing anointing into those cloths, which is transferable. And he said that people would come, and he used a couple of stories which I think are significant. He said that these two individuals that he talked about, one in particular, had been incarcerated, I guess you could say, in an institution, a mental institution. And they were, he said, if you came in the presence of this individual, they'd tear you up. They're like an animal. They were literally, they were caged. This person would just tear you up. And he said that they took this prayer cloth that had been prayed over, put it on this person. 3 days, normal. They just went, boop, and they went, oh, where am I? Normal. And there was another individual where they had taken out of an institution, put them in the home. They put bars and tall fences in the yard and all of this business so they could keep this person contained, because if they got exposed to the public, they would hurt somebody. It did the same thing. 3 days, boom, normal. So the power of God, the anointing of God, can change anything. Lift burdens, break yokes. So there's nothing that the power of God cannot change. I don't care how extreme it is, how bad it looks, it can be changed with the power of God, because Jesus bore our sicknesses and our infirmities and the causes. So that means I don't care how extreme it looks, it can be changed. And that means that whatever mountain we're facing, it can be changed. Because the Word of God says, let's read it together in Mark 11:22. In the King James, I'm going to read, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, one of the key things is when it says have the faith of God, you can't have the faith of God unless you know what the will of God is. That sounds pretty basic, but that's the key. You can't have the God kind of faith unless you know it's His will in a particular area. So once you know the will of God, then you can say something in what? Confidence. Because one of the things, and I'd like ask you to turn over just for a moment to Hebrews 11:1 for a moment. Hebrews 11:1. And I'm going to read this in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read a couple of different translations, which I believe will shed some light in this particular area. I like reading from different translations. But the King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when you look at substance, I'll give you some of the definitions in that particular word. It's hypostasis. You know, it's a big word in Greek, but anyways, it just says it's a foundation. So your hope is resting upon, something is resting upon something. What is that? The will of God. And so your faith is resting upon something. And so this says here, that which has foundation is firm. Now listen to this. This is part of this whole definition. There's a lot of pieces to this. That which has actual existence. That which has actual existence. So you could say here, now faith is that which has actual existence of things hoped for. It also means a steadfast of mind, firmness, courage, resolution. It also means confidence. So faith is the confidence of things you hope for. So how do you get that confidence? Through faith. Faith is the confidence of something that you hope for. And how does that come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So through the continual listening and feeding upon the Word of God, confidence comes. That's faith. And so that's why you can see in the world, the devil works the world system, which is influenced by Satan, works so hard at bombarding us with media-related things, and we end up with confidence in a world system. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. So when there's faith, faith is going to come by hearing. So you can see here, when you read this, it says, now faith is the substance. Faith is, you can see here, it's confidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. It has real and actual existence. So now hook up with what Dr. Hutton was saying when Jesus said, "My peace I give you." Now, when somebody has faith in that, that peace inside has real, actual existence. So the reality of that inside is greater than any external force. So all of these pressures in life can be exerting upon us, but the reality of this faith, this whatever it is, healing, peace, finances, prosperity, the reality of that, the confidence of it is greater than this that I see. Isn't that true? Because what was shared Sunday? The power of that external thing that we're seeing and feeling has no power. So what we're experiencing, what has reality, is what's inside. This is the reality. Now, when you right, this word substance also means a substance, real being, that which has actual existence. Now, when you read this, it says, now faith is the substance, it's the reality, it's the confidence of something we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. When you look up that word evidence, it says, that by which a thing is proved or tested, conviction. So you have confidence because of the faith that you have, and you have a conviction of something that you don't see. See? So when you are in that state, when you're in that place, you can speak to a mountain. And there is no doubt that what you say is going to come to pass. And because you have no doubt, it shall be yours. Why? Because of a conviction, a confidence that has reality, that has real existence. Where? On the inside. And here's the thing. You can relate to this. How many of us, when we asked Jesus to come into our heart, and somebody said to you, "Are you saved?" You said, "Yes, sir. Absolutely." You didn't feel any different. You didn't look any different. But there was a knowing, a confidence on the inside that something had happened. That's faith. And that faith was a confidence in what just happened to you. Confidence, not just in what happened, but a confidence that when you believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, that something happened. You were saved. And so there was a knowing, there was a confidence. Well, think about that. How did that come? Being taught, being preached the Word of God. And it's no different. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we can live a confident life. We can live in confidence. First, we've got to know what the will of God is. And once we know it, then we feed upon it and feed upon it until that confidence comes. Till that knowing comes. Then faith is there. See, and confession, I'll say it this way, confession opens the door for faith. Because you may start, some will say, well, you know, I don't believe that. Okay. Keep saying it until belief comes. Keep saying it until faith comes. You keep saying the Word of God and faith will come. Confidence will come. An assurance will come. A knowing will come. And that's where once faith comes, once that confidence comes, that's when you speak to the mountain. Not beforehand. Some of us are speaking to mountains before confidence comes, and things sometimes don't move, they don't change, and we're wondering why. It's because you might be saying it out of your head. You might be saying it because somebody else said it. And so confidence is not there. Faith is not there. And Brother Hagin used to say this for years. He said he would be teaching faith. He'd be in a seminar. He's the teacher. He's in week-long meetings teaching faith. And he would get a call from home saying something's going on, this or that. He'd say if it wasn't an emergency, he would not release his words immediately. He would get quiet, meditate upon the word, and when faith was there, when confidence was there, because of meditating and speaking the word, then he would release his words. Not beforehand. Now, I got to tell you, if somebody with that success rate speaks like that, I think we need to follow that. And following it means, what does Joshua 1:8 say? Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate in it day and night. And so we meditate in it, and when faith comes, you'll make your way successful. And so I think for me, what I've been leaning more on is not be so quick to release what we call faith words, because I think our words need to be filled with confidence. And I believe we'll have better success. I do. Sometimes we're releasing words for a variety of reasons. Just out of sometimes just, you know, we're gonna pray real quick. Let's pray. Why? Because this is saying here to me, that which has actual existence, reality. If you don't sense that, don't release your words. Don't speak to the mountain. Wait. Meditate. Feed upon the Word of God. I know for me, there's been times where I'm thinking of one time I was home. I had a very, very high fever. This was years ago. And I was experiencing a high fever. And I decided that day, this is a while ago, you can tell a while ago, I was using cassette tapes. And so I put this cassette tape on of Brother Hagin, and I play it almost 24 hours. Click, flip it over, click, flip it over, click, flip it over, click, flip it over, hour after hour. And all of a sudden, in here, it began to rise. And of course, I had stayed home for a few days. And out of my spirit, man, I spoke in tongues. I don't know why. But it came out of here like a sword, like a volcano. It just came up, I spoke in tongues, and I knew I had it. I knew it. There was this confidence. And I said, we need to, I believe, be not as quick to release words, but wait till faith comes. What do I mean? There's this confidence, divine confidence, and we release words. And that is going to come by feeding upon the Word of God. Can't get away from that. So let me read this. This is a few other translations. This is the Common English Bible. It says, faith is the reality of what we hope for. It's the reality of what we hope for. The proof of what we don't see. This is the New International Version. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So you're sure of what you hope for. You're absolutely sure. What does that mean? You're confident. You're convinced. It has reality. I have it. The Berkeley translation, this says, faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. The Beck translation, it says, faith is being sure of the things we hope for, being convinced of the things we can't see. You're absolutely convinced. You know it. You have it. The Moffat translation says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. You're confident and you're convinced. So faith is, you could say here, you could replace that word faith with confidence. Now confidence, and I'll think about this. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So you could say it this way. Without confidence, it's impossible to please God. Without confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence that your confidence is based upon what? Not even based upon, the confidence is the reality of the Word of God. It's truth that has birthed in your spirit. You know. So the reality, that's why I say it's the revelation, the entrance of God's Word brings light, or the revelation of God's Word brings light, that brings faith. That brings confidence. So the confidence is the revelation of God's Word. It's light that's been birthed in your spirit. You know. You know. Can't beat it out of me. I know I have this. I'm confident. And so that kind of confidence is what pleases God. And that comes by and through the Word of God. And I believe that we grow in degrees. We are growing from what? Faith to faith. So I believe that there's also levels, we could also say, there's degrees or levels of confidence. Because as one grows in faith, there's another level of confidence in what? Confidence in God. Because that's really who you have faith in. It says have the faith of God or faith in God. You have faith in His promises, but you have faith in God. And so there's another degree of confidence in God to do what He said He'll do. You are absolutely convinced. And Let's turn over to 2 Timothy for a moment. 2 Timothy 1:12. We'll eventually get back to Mark 11:22. No, we jumped over here, but why don't we look at 2 Timothy 1:12 for a moment. Says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. So it's key here, he knows whom I have believed. He knows because he's persuaded. Now, let me read this in the New International Version. It says, that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am convinced. This is the New International Version. And the Good News Translation says, but I am still full, let me back up, it says, it is for this reason that I suffer these things, but I am still full of confidence because I know whom I have trusted and I am sure. Oh, I like that. I know I am still full of confidence, I am full of faith because I know whom I have trusted, and I am sure. I'm sure. See, so it's key. You've got to know whom you believe. Who is that? Have the faith of God. So when we have the faith of God, then we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and because you're full of confidence, well, there is no doubt in your heart. And so you believe that the things that you say shall come to pass. Why? Because you're in confidence, you're in faith. And then that way it says you shall have whatsoever you say. So it's important, at least what I'm seeing, that it comes back to this faith that we have, this faith in God is key for confidence. And this confidence is key in speaking to mountains. And if it's not there, then you need to hold off before you release words. I think that what Dr. Hutton was sharing about the lack of peace in the body of Christ, really, when you think about it, it's because of their lack of faith in God. They don't have faith in this that God has given them, which is peace. So there's a lack of faith, there's a lack of what? Confidence. And so when there's a lack of confidence in something that God has provided through Jesus, we say stuff. I ain't got this. I don't have that. I'm sick. I can't afford this. Because there's a lack of faith. There's a lack of confidence in God. And so this confidence that comes from and through faith, when we have it, there is no wavering. There is no, I don't know. You know. I know whom I have believed and am confident. And so there's no gray areas. Doesn't mean, it's just like we heard Sunday, we know that, doesn't mean that we're not going to face external pressures. It doesn't mean we're not going to face external things, but there's a confidence that what God has provided, I have it. And the power of that which is pushing me, the power of that that's trying to steal from me, has no power. And I'm not going to give it power, because greater is the reality in me than what's trying to take from me. And I'm not going to give it power. And if that reality isn't there in your life yet, then continue to feed upon the Word of God. Continue to profess what God has promised. Begin to say, I have this. God has promised this. This is mine. I take it. I receive it. It's mine. I know one time I remember in one of the tapes I listened to, Brother Hagin said, you know, this was after he had been raised from his deathbed. He said his whole side of his face drooped. And he had a stroke or something. And the whole side of his face, he said, it was like this. Everything was tilted and all of this. So he said, just get me to a preacher, have him pray. He said, I don't even know what he prayed. I just said, amen is mine. And he didn't change, nothing changed. And people say, you didn't get anything, nothing changed. He said, I got it, mine, got it. It's mine, got it. And he said it went a day or whatever it was, and he woke up in the morning, boop, everything's straight. Because he was convinced that God had promised it to him. He took it by faith. When that preacher said amen, he said, it's mine, I got it. And for him, he was convinced. Did it change immediately? No. But faith and that conviction changed the external. So that's where we're concerned, that speaking to the mountain is about, to me, operating in the faith of God. Operating in the God kind of faith, which comes from hearing the Word of God. And when that God kind of faith is there, see, that's, let's go back and look at that for a moment. Let's look at Mark 11. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. See now, when he's talking here, Jesus is saying, have the faith, or have faith in God, or have the faith of God. And then he's talking next about what the faith of God is. It's speaking. It's believing and speaking. So we can see here, all through this, this isn't just saying to the mountain. This is saying based on having what? Faith of God. So verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, let me read some of these other translations. I'm going to add to some that we've done in the past. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, in solemn truth I tell you, that if anyone shall say to this mountain, remove, hurl thyself into the sea, and has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be granted to him. Now, I like this. I like looking at different translations in this sense. This is the Berkeley translation. It says, of course, we know in the King James, it says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. The Berkeley translation says, and entertains no inner doubt. See, I like that because it says entertains. See, that means you got a part here. It can't just overtake you, you entertain it. See, you entertain inner doubt. And so it says, that's what it says, and entertains no inner doubt. This is the Dewey Reams translation. It says, this is another version here, it says, and shall not stagger in his heart. Well, if you're convinced, you can't stagger. There's no wavering. See? And that wavering comes from a lack of confidence, which means a lack of faith. If you're not in confidence, you're not in faith. You're wavering. And so it's a good key. It's a good judge. If you're wavering, now I don't mean this. If you're confident, because we've all been here, if you're confident in your heart on the inside, your mind could be saying a whole lot of other things. You'll never get this. You'll never have it. You'll never go there. You'll never be that. But inside, you know. Well, the world operates in this all the time. People that have lost things, they say, I'm going to do that. And they keep trying till they do. Professional athletes, how many of them have gone through ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs and failure after failure after failure till they get to the objective they want? And they keep going after it because they're going to get it. There's a confidence inside of them. I'm going to do this. So there's a confidence. And I read the Weymouth, yeah, the Bible in Basic English. Yeah. So let's take a moment, and just as we close, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3 just for a moment. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. And that particular word confidence means boldly. It's the same Greek word. Now you can flip ahead to chapter 4 and verse 16, same book. You're familiar with this verse, Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That word boldly is the same word, Greek word, confidence, in Hebrews 3:6. So that same word, Greek word, confidence, and boboldly, come boldly, come confidently to the throne of grace. What does that mean? Come in faith. Come in faith. Same thing. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. If we hold fast our faith unto the end, firm unto the end. It's the same exact word. And when you look up this particular word, confidence, boldly, this same Greek word, it means to speak unreservedness in speech. It means fearless confidence, courage, boldness, assurance. It means to be speak openly, plainly, boldly, without reservation, without hesitation, without uncertainty, no wavering. So we can speak that particular way. See, even when you look at what we've been talking about, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is the what? Substance. So this confidence, this boldness that we have, when you look at Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. It means we can speak openly, plainly, boldly, without reservation, without hesitation. That means how we come into God? In faith. We're coming to Him in faith, with confidence. We can speak to God in confidence because He's promised. He's promised. So some people say, well, faith is twisting God's arm. No, it's not. Faith isn't twisting God's arm. Faith is putting Him in remembrance and taking what He's promised. So I can come boldly to the throne of grace in confidence, receiving and taking what He's promised. See? And so this word, to me, again, when we come boldly, we're coming in faith. We're coming in confidence to the throne of grace to receive what? Mercy and find grace in the time of need. But it all boils back to having faith in God, and it boils back to what? Knowing Him, knowing what He promised, and the reality of that. It has real existence. It has reality inside me. So when something's real, see, it's no different if I said, what's your name? And you said, Mary. And I said, are you sure? Come on. You're confident that that's your name. Or you're confident where you live. Or you're confident what car you drive. That'd be silly for me to question. Or not silly to question, but silly for you to waver. Because someone would have to then question your mental stability. If you weren't sure of your name, or sure of where you live, or sure of what you drive, somebody'd say, wait a minute. But when you're sure, you're confident. Now, where God is concerned, what He's promised, see, if everybody, think about this, if everybody was confident by just reading the Word of God, there'd be a whole lot of confident people in the world, wouldn't there? So it's more than just reading, and it's more than just confessing. It's knowing. And that knowing comes from what? The revelation of it. And so if that faith, that confidence isn't there yet, keep reading, keep confessing, until it does come, and don't give up. It will come. It surely shall come. Because the entrance of His Word, you keep feeding upon it, and the confidence, the faith, the reality of its existence will come. And when it's there, man is there. Nothing can take it away from you, because you know. You know in whom you have believed, and you're convinced of what you don't see. Isn't that true? Well, those are just some thoughts that I wanted to have you chew upon. Let's look, just as we close, one more scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll first go to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll go to 3. Two scriptures, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. We know this scripture. What does that say? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace are ye saved through confidence. Confidence of what? Confidence of what God said He would do? Faith in Him? It's another way of saying it. For by grace are ye saved. That word is sozo. And I'll tell you, if you look it up, of course, it can mean a number of things. It means to save. It means to keep safe. Rescue from danger or destruction. It means to save a suffering one. It says one suffering, example, one suffering to disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment. It says to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save or rescue. So that means you are saved from the evil one through confidence. Through faith. So you can go and say, just like Psalm 91, no evil shall befall my dwelling. Nothing shall come nigh me. No evil, no hurt, no harm. And there has to be a confidence that God is protecting me. And I like what, and for me, what is this all based on? The blood of Jesus. I am what? Redeemed. I'm what? I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. So this is really based on covenant, a blood covenant that we have with God through Jesus. So I'm telling you, this blood that has been shed protects me, has sealed me from the evil one. And I'm convinced and confident that the blood has protected me, and I'm redeemed because of that. And I have faith in God because of the blood. And so we can have faith in God. We can have confidence in the provisions that have been extended to us through Jesus by the blood. Hallelujah. And I'll read this, Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So I have boldness, and it's in Him. Boldness, access, with confidence, by the faith in Him. By the faith of Him. Praise God. I'm going to just unhook here for now and feed upon these thoughts, feed upon the Word of God, if there's an area where your confidence has been wavering, Feed upon the Word of God. Feed upon it. Get some of these, not just the teaching, but one of the things that, you know, we have all of these electronic gadgets today. Between phones, you can go to stores and buy little pocket recorders, whatever. There are so many gadgets out there today. Begin to take scriptures and begin to voice them in with your own voice. And begin to just play those back over and over and over and over, and faith will come. Confidence will come. Amen. It sure will. I know for me, it takes time, but faith will come. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that confidence, faith is growing. Faith is building. Faith is rising. Confidence is rising in you. In every area of our life. And we thank you for that, Father. We don't think so, we know so. And we thank you, Father, for your many provisions. And we thank you, Father, that our bank accounts are full. We thank you that our minds are clear. We thank you that our bodies are healed and functioning normally. We thank you that every cell, every ligament, every part of our bodies function normally. We thank you, Father, that we're not affected by the turmoils of life. We're not affected by the conditions of this earth. But our provisions are from another system. From the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father, that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we thank you that every need of ours is met in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.